The editor of Ukrainian Freedom News in Ukraine is Joseph Lindsley. For obvious security reasons, we can never say exactly where Joseph is, but we're told you're in a new location today. Hello, Joseph.
Hey, Bob. Good afternoon from Western Ukraine. Good morning to you all in Chicago. And yes, I'm speaking from, I can tell you where I am today. I am in a museum in the city of Skola. It's an old 19th century Austro-Hungarian era house. And I'm in the basement of this house, which in the 1940s and the 1950s, the precursor to the Russian KGB, the NKVD, sort of the secret police of communist Moscow, tortured Ukrainian partisans in the room that I'm from which I'm speaking to you right now. And I'm looking, my hands are actually on photographs of the Ukrainians, the men and the women who continued to fight in the mountains for their freedom this in the 1940s and 50s. They had just defeated the communists. I'm sorry, they had just defeated the Nazis in a battle, which I told you about a few weeks ago, on the top of a mountain. And then only weeks and months later, the Soviets invaded. And the resistance lasted till 1954. And so these brave men and women were sort of the same. I think we're seeing the same spirit in parts of Ukraine that are currently occupied, such as Kherson. We have many reports of resistance activity in the areas that Russia currently occupies. And here in this place, I'm reminded that this has been a long Ukrainian tradition. And even in here in this museum, I learned about 1,000 years ago, there was a great Ukrainian leader called Zakhar Berkut, and he fought the Mongols that were invading this land. And so the people of these mountains, there's sort of different tribes. There's the Poyko people, the Hutsul people. They all identify as Ukrainian. And for, you know, really millennia, they've been fighting just to live their life here in these mountains. And so we see the same story unfolding today as I speak to you, looking at the faces of Ukrainian heroes from another generation.
Hmm. Even in the recent history of the Ukrainian people, there has not been much time between conflicts, has there?
No, you know, and Ukrainians have had a series of revolutions, peaceful revolutions of people standing in the streets. You had the Orange Revolution in 2004, and with each of these revolutions, they were breaking more and more away, really, from the grip of Soviet oppression. You know, for 70 years of not being able to be free, but it was really 2014 when Ukrainians. As I've said so many times, I really think 2014 is the thing that really scares Putin the most. It's when Ukrainians became ungovernable. They became unpredictable. They became truly democratic. They kicked out the pro-Putin regime in Kyiv. And in those past 8 years, you've seen a flourishing of Ukrainian language and culture. And as I mentioned yesterday, you know, it wasn't cool to speak Ukrainian in 2013 from so many of the stories I hear from people. And now it's a badge of honor. And so the more Ukrainians have been attacked, the more they have sort of reawakened their ancient culture and traditions.
And what's amazing, even a couple of weeks ago, Russia's top diplomat said that Moscow's goal in Ukraine is to free its people from its unacceptable regime. I mean, it's hard to believe that they still push out that propaganda, and you wonder if that is still effective.
Well, I think in some circles, unfortunately, in the world, it is. I think people, you know, certain regimes that make lots of money by trading with Russia. Some people in America, unfortunately, seem to buy some of that rhetoric. But, you know, Putin always said that, you know, he's trying to denazify Ukraine. You know, and here, I mean, some of the faces I'm looking at, and in fact, I saw a photograph just a few minutes ago of young people, young guys who, right before they went to battle against the Nazis, you know, so Ukrainians fought the Nazis and then they had to fight the Russians, and they didn't belong to either side. And you also, I mean, in Russia, is there free speech? You know, I mean, I think, you know, who outside of Russia would want to live there? I think, as a girl I know from Kharkiv told me in the first days of the war, she's a Russian speaker. She said, it's not even about language. It's about a different mentality. And the mentality of the Ukrainians is that they want to be free. And the more I've learned about the history, it goes deep into their roots through the centuries, sort of as a wild people of the steppes and the mountains between Europe and Asia.
And before I let you go, Joseph, is there anything new to report on that Crimea ammunition depot that was hit not too long ago?
Yeah, this is the big. This is the biggest news of today, and you know, it was last Tuesday. Ukraine. It seems that Ukrainians hit that Russian airbase, Saki, with many Russian jets were destroyed. And now a week later, another Tuesday, which Ukrainians are very excited about that fact. They said, let's make this a regular Tuesday occurrence. There was a major explosion at a Russian munitions base in Crimea, which Crimea is a land that the peninsula in the Black Sea that the Russians have occupied since 2014. And this time the Ukrainian government all but said that, yes, this was a Ukrainian action. And it's only possible because of the long-range weapons from America. It's a very bold move. I mean, it's not attacking territory that the Russians have recently occupied. It's attacking territory that they've been in control of since 2014. So there's excitement in the air, but there's also some trepidation. How will Russia respond? In fact, we just had another air alarm a few minutes ago here, and there is, you know, what is Putin's next chess move? And surely he must have some moves up his sleeve. And so that's, we're in a, there's some hope, but these are very strange days of uncertainty at the same time.
Have you been hearing alarms a lot in the last 24 hours?
Last night the entire country was under alarm. I was sitting outside with people here in the mountains, and people thought they saw things in the sky, and so everyone jumped up to look at the sky. There were no reports of any missiles landing. Perhaps there were drones, but that is kind of, after some period of a little bit of calm in some of these places away from the front, there now is a sense of unease that if you see something in the sky, you jump up and you pay attention.
As always, we appreciate the report on current events and a little history as well from Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. And we will speak tomorrow. Stay safe, Joseph.
Thank you, Bob.